And so we go to the Doha. The precious Jejun was staying at Pompuk. When a Geshe from central Tibet asked him some questions, this sprung forth. So it seems that this Doha was sung or told when he was, you know, kind of meeting a Geshe from central Tibet, or he kind of sang this Doha to him or for his sake. Self-knowing, realized free of extremes, is understood to be the ultimate of view. Does someone involved in tenets have a bit of it? So what he says is rangri tha nang talwar tuk tawin thatu imbar ko. Rangrik is like Rigpa, you know, in Dzogchen you call it Rigpa. Sometimes in some kind of terminologies, it's called Rigpa, Rangrik. Sometimes it's called Samyit, the nature of the mind. So when you realize, I realize the nature of the Rigpa or nature of the pristine awareness. Pristine awareness sometimes is translated as the Rigpa. Free of extremes. Free of extremes means that without any kind of conceptual grasping. I think from the experiential point of view, the extremes, sometimes in a philosophical way, we say that free from extremes is like you say, this exists, then one extreme. This does not exist, two extreme. This exist and not exist both is third extreme. And this does is not any of them is the fourth extreme. Yeah. So any way you hold on to, you know, like it's like this, it's not like this, it's both way, non way, all are extremes. So free of extremes means free of any way of grasping. So the nature of mind, sometimes, you know, when people talk about in Dzogchen, for instance, like there's a lot of things. What is, you know, the mind the same, and what is Rigpa, the differentiation of that. So this is like the ultimate view or the ultimate understanding of the nature of the mind is in an experiential way, where you can experience, you can be aware, but you don't have to grasp. That's regarded as the ultimate view, because once you grasp at something, your mind has to grasp, that becomes the samsaric mind, because then any way you grasp, any way you kind of say this is good, this is not good, this is nice or not nice, or this is there, here, or yes or no, whatever, then the samsaric state of mind starts, that I want this, I don't want this, this is nice, this is not nice, all sorts of kind of a dualistic, what we call as dualistic experience. So therefore, when you have the dualistic way of reacting, then that becomes samsara. And when you become free from dualistic way of reacting, which is not a kind of no thought, which is not like no experience or totally blank, very clear, very aware, but do not have to grasp, do not have to, run after or run away. When that kind of experience happens, then it's called free from experience, extremes. So this I understand as the ultimate view. A view here means the way I see things. In Buddhism, a view becomes very important, because usually it is said that the sufferings, any kind of sufferings we have, it's because of klesha and karma. And klesha actually means negative emotion and ignorance. And the negative emotion is, aversion, anger, and all those kind of, and fear, anger, aversion, craving, greed, attachment, all those kind of, emotions which brings tension, which brings pain, which brings problems to ourselves. But those negative emotions are actually coming because of ignorance. That's the understanding. So therefore, the ignorance here means that I don't realize exactly how I am, what I am. What is it that I am? So we have a very kind of wrong way of looking at ourselves, that I see me as something totally existing. And when I say me, I sometimes even feel that there is something me, not even, this is my body, not me. This is my mind, not me. This is my thoughts, not me. So me is somewhere behind, somewhere, who owns all of them. So me, I am there. Something separate and somewhere there. So because of that, then we see I or me here and everything there. So even me and my experience. Yeah. So therefore, anything nice, anything there, anything that is supposed to be nice to me, I must get that, I must want that, I must crave for that, I must, run after that. Anything that I feel is not nice to me or not good, or something, you know, not good experience, then I don't want them. I should avoid that. I should run away from them. And if I feel like that, if I experience like that, then everything I see or experience is something that is either that brings aversion or that brings attachment. And whatever, you know, experience I have, then I react with, you know, either running after or running away from. And when I have that way of reacting, I am always busy, I am always in tension, I was always, you know, kind of not having the right thing. Even if I have everything right, I have the fear of not getting something wrong. So therefore, it's always dissatisfied, always some kind of tension and suffering. So that is the cause of suffering. And that cause of suffering is because I don't understand myself clearly. So therefore, to see myself where I am, what I am, you know, is the most important thing, because that, if you have that understanding or clarity, which we call the wisdom, that can clear away, that can change this way of reacting. So therefore, the view becomes extremely important, because that's the only way to end or to change this way of samsaric way of reacting. So therefore, you know, the view becomes the most essential thing, and therefore also the wisdom becomes the most essential thing to, you know, to kind of end the suffering. So therefore, if I see my mind in this way, that there's nothing there, kind of to, you know, that can be destroyed. There's nothing that is kind of solid, you know, but there's therefore it's not necessary to grasp at anything, hold on to anything, fear anything. And so I'm myself, what I call my mind or body or whatever, is, you know, in some sense, it is it's a flowing, it's impermanent, interdependent, it's emptiness. So therefore, you know, there's no kind of there's nothing that needs to be or that can be destroyed. There's no security, there's nothing there to defend, so therefore there's nothing that can be destroyed also. But at the same time, the awareness, the clarity is always there and cannot kind of disappear. So when that nature of the mind is understood, then you have the ultimate view. And the more clearly you can experience that, the less you have tension, the less you have the need to react with negative emotions. And so therefore, you can be, you know, liberated from the samsaric state of mind. So therefore, the view becomes important. But the view is the understanding or kind of the first experience or the understanding or the glimpse of the way things are. So therefore, it needs meditation. Does someone involved in tenets have a bit of it? Somebody who has studied lots of tenets and lots of philosophies, does he have this? He's kind of a little bit telling to the geshes, you know, only study intellectual study, you may not get anywhere. unless you understand this. Abiding in and abiding uninterruptedly in the innate is understood to be the ultimate of meditation. Does someone involved in pleasant placement here and there have a bit of it? So, what is the meditation? What is the true meditation? What is the real meditation? Is, you know, in this innate, in this nature, that you find, you experience that you can be aware without grasping, without holding on to something nice or something not nice. Anything happens, you can let them come and let them go. All the thoughts and emotions can be self-liberated. And so therefore, you can relax in this way all the time. If somebody can do that, that's the meditation. And therefore, those who are kind of trying to let your mind settle down, only kind of, I try to make my mind settle down and hold it in, you know, let my mind now go. It's going away. No, it should not go away. And try to bang it back. He says that way it wouldn't get too far. So therefore, of course, at our level that is also necessary, because, you know, when our mind is totally distracted and we can't even relax a little bit, then it is very difficult to get to this kind of experience. Ultimately, what he's saying is that even if you have a very, you know, stable mind, that your mind is really stable and you can sit in meditation for hours without moving or without, you know, concentration wavering, that wouldn't totally liberate you. What really liberates you and totally transform your samsaric state of mind is through that kind of, you know, having the view. And then, you know, because even if you have the view, we have so much habitual tendency. Our habitual tendency is so deep, so strong. So therefore, it's like an addiction. So therefore, it's not, you know, we cannot experience this in a kind of true way or complete way. So we need to, you know, we need to meditate and make this experience come clearer and clearer. You know, I think the wisdom. If you really have the experience of the wisdom, and that kind of transforms your mind from samsara to, you know, freedom from samsara, and if you even understand a little bit, that also you know, kind of softens your grasping a little bit. But the more you clear it is, the more clearer that becomes, the more, you know, samsaric state of mind kind of reduces, and the more enlightened you become. So there are many different levels of enlightenment, like 10 bhumis and things like that. So therefore, the meditation is something necessary. Body and mind dedicated for the sake of migrators is understood to be the ultimate of conduct. Does someone who has his own sake at heart have a bit of it? So once one has this experience of the true nature of mind, or the realization of what you actually are, what your mind actually is, then, you know, you have accomplished your own purpose. Sometimes we call it like that, because you know that there is nothing to suffer, there is nothing to run after. There's nothing to run away from. So there is no fear, and there's no, therefore, no need of any clinging to do. Then naturally, you know, only thing that you really need to do is help all the other people or the other beings who can have that experience but do not have, who do not know that they actually can be free from their suffering and therefore suffer a lot. So therefore, with this compassion, then, you know, this person becomes totally dedicated for the benefit of all the migrators. Here is the translation of Ndowa. Ndowa in Tibetan means migrator or goa or wanderer. Sometimes people translate as wanderer. Wanderer means that you don't have, you don't know where you are going. You're kind of going round, 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 but there's nowhere to go. Sometimes samsara is described as a, you know, as a fly in a closed bottle. If you are a fly, and if you are in a closed bottle, then you fly up and up, and then down and down, and again fly up and up, trying to get out, but cannot get out because the bottle is closed. So therefore, if we don't understand our true nature, if we don't have the wisdom, then we are like that, that we go to many different realms, up and up, down and down, but cannot get free because we trapped ourselves in our own misunderstanding. And so therefore, the people who do not understand how to, where to go, how to liberate themselves, is called wanderers or migrators. So therefore, all these people, all these sentient beings who are in samsara are called migrators. So for their sake or for their benefit, you are dedicated. Your body, your both body and mind is dedicated only for them, because you don't have to look after yourself anymore. That's the understanding of the ultimate conduct, the highest conduct or highest action of an enlightened being. So does someone know who has his own sake of heart? So somebody who is only thinking about himself or herself do not have any understanding of this. When those three have been realized as an inseparable one, that is understood to be the ultimate of fruition. Does someone with hopes and fears have a bit of it? So when someone kind of has this realization, these three things, the view, meditation and action, the ultimate view, the ultimate meditation and the ultimate action, when these three things are, you know, fulfilled or realized or actualized, that's what we call the result, the fruition, or enlightened, you can call it if you like, awakened if you want to call it. There's nothing more, you know, kind of, from Buddhist point of view, the realization or the freedom or the, you know, the Buddhahood or everything is a kind of understanding, clarity, because the idea is that the way our mind is, the way our consciousness is, there's nothing wrong with that. What is wrong is the way we perceive it. So therefore, when we are kind of looking at it or perceiving it in the wrong way, not as it is, then we are samsaric, we are deluded. When we actually see ourselves and the whole universe or all the phenomena as it is, then we are enlightened. So therefore, you know, sometimes it is said that the samsara is nothing but a misunderstanding. So therefore, also it is said it is very much possible to free ourselves from the sufferings of the samsara, because it is just a misunderstanding, and a misunderstanding has to end, you know, because it's a misunderstanding. So therefore, you know, it's like everybody cannot be deceived all the time, you know, something like that, you know, the same thing. So therefore, if somebody is just kind of only reacting with hope and fear, then cannot understand this version, because this experience of freedom from suffering, experience of lasting peace, needs to be a way of understanding that I don't need to fear anything. There's nothing to fear. And therefore, there's nothing to hope for also, because there's nothing to gain. There's nothing I need to kind of get which I don't have, because I don't need to fear anything. So I'm complete. There's nothing more to kind of it's already complete, already satisfied, already, you know, completely free. That Mr. Central Tibet, he's calling, I think, the Central Tibetan person as Mr. Central Tibet. I don't know, maybe that's Uba. The Tibetan word is Uba. And he translated it as Mr. Central Tibet. I think it looks good. Is the meaning of meditation, isn't it? If you realize that, it is the ultimate. So if you can realize this view, meditation in action and fruition, and actually, you know, actualize that, that's all you need to do. There's nothing more to do. What he said was said via the four things of view, meditation, conduct, and fruition. And this is kind of a description. So this is the end of the song, and it is a very very profound song, very deep teaching, but I cannot say that I can explain it very well, but I think that's it. So we've gone through one of the dohas of the first Kamapa, so maybe there is some blessings. So let us all get this blessing. I need that, and maybe you need that also.